Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is March the 26th, 2020, and today we're going to be talking about the COVID-19 resilience and our unsettling times here. It seems like our whole world has changed in the last 2-3 weeks with this pandemic, global pandemic of the coronavirus, and it's affected every aspect of our lives. So I want to do this call in reference to you as a coach and as a person, how you're handling this, and then also how you can help your athletes and your clients. Some of you are working with other kinds of clients like musicians or business people, and how you can help them navigate this new normal or these funny different waters that we're in now. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, just I'll give some comments, and then I want to ask each of you how you're experiencing this and how your athletes are experiencing this changing environment in this global pandemic that's affecting all of us around the world. It's one of the few things that is actually, you know, everyone in the whole world just experiencing in some way. And then I talk about, you know, the different, why it's, it can be really difficult with people. It's the intensity and the duration of what's happening and the uncertainty, all that together. Anxiety tends to feed on that uncertainty. And then how to focus on what you can. We tend to focus on all the things we can't control, but how to focus on what you can control. And then the emotional effects, let's say things like with our student athletes on school closures, you know, and we just heard that the Olympics have been postponed for at least a year in Japan, and so there's lots of sports events, cancellations, and how to handle rapid shifts. Also, if, I don't know, did someone else just join us too? I wanted to just join anyone who's joined us here. If you could put your phone on, there's a little bit of background noise, if you could just press *6 on your phone, I think that can mute your phone just for this first part while we're talking here. And then, yeah, I'd love to have you join, you know, when you want to join in, they just press *6 again to unmute to talk and join our conversation. So thank you, and that way we can get a good recording for everyone too for afterward. So yeah, and I wanted to talk today about, you know, disappointment in our athletes, musicians, other clients, you know, without a venue to perform in, with all so many things being canceled, and their livelihoods being severely affected, with many, say, musicians that can't perform, and top athletes, of course, the whole, you know, professional sports season's been canceled, and then talk about, you know, some tips that you can give your athletes, do's and don'ts to keep emotionally stable, and how to say, you know, a lot of athletes are wondering, how do I work out when, you know, my pool is closed or the gym is closed or the track is closed, the facilities are all not operating right now, how to be creative with these kinds of things. And, you know, and a lot of us, I'm sheltering at home. I'm sure most of you are probably sheltering at home and being, you know, you can look at that as being cooped up at home, or you can look at it, like Emily, as you were mentioning, how to kind of find a new normal, create a new routine for you, and then how to help your clients do that. And then talk about, fortunately, with telemental health, which is what we're doing, you know, and coaching, is some new law changes that can help us as coaches to be able to work easily, more easily with clients. And then, you know, phone sessions to think about, you know, you are more now needed now than ever, especially with distance coaching. You know, you might not be able to see your client in person, but if you're already doing phone sessions like I am and many of you are, that is a perfect way to be able to support your clients and do it in a way that is social distancing that we're all supposed to be doing, so we don't spread the pandemic, the coronavirus. And that's built into our work as coaches, so we can use that And I'd encourage you to, you know, continue doing that with people and offering more of that to people. I know that many athletes or many people right now are just financially totally strapped and can't, maybe they've lost their jobs or they can't pay for sessions. So if you have clients that can continue to pay you, that's great. If maybe you have one or two people that you, it's a time also you could reach out to people and offer one or two free sessions, complimentary sessions to be able to help them get started, and then they could turn into paid clients. So this is a time for, you know, extending, I think, help in any way that we can. Most people want to know, how can I help in this pandemic? And we have so many wonderful skills that we can help with, help people get through things emotionally. And then I just, you know, we'll talk about hope here, how you can provide hope and encouragement and, you know, lift people's spirits in these really tough times, and how we can all get through this together and keep moving forward. So so I wanted to talk, yeah, anyone else that just wanted to say hello that just joined us? I just wanted to
Dr.
give you
Joanne?
A chance. Yes.
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. Glad you could join us.
I've been on for a while, and I've tried to talk, but for some reason you haven't been able to hear me. I don't know why that is, but I'm here now.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, I figured that's so, you're such a, it's so wonderful to have, hear your voice, and you're a great regular here. Yeah, and we have Emily, one of our newer students, too, who's here. Yeah, hi, Emily. Are you there, too? She might be on mute, but whenever you want to speak, you can press star 6 to unmute. I think that's how it works on your phone, but
yes,
phones are different,
Michelle.
I guess.
Oh. Hi, Emily.
Yeah, Emily's back in, let's see, are you back east?
Yes.
Which state are you in, Emily?
I'm in Massachusetts, Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, yeah. Right, and you have a training facility there, right?
I do, yes. I have a fitness studio where I've been hosting a lot of virtual classes over the past 2 weeks.
Oh, good. So you're really adapting that way?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good. Are you doing it on Zoom or which platform?
I am. I've been doing it on Zoom, and when the virus sort of got to its most critical point, I was right towards the end of a session that I was just completing. So I comped everybody's classes for the last 2 weeks, and then I'm kicking off a new session, and I'm lending out my equipment to people, so they pay a fee now to participate in these online classes, and they get access to my TRX straps or my weights and things like that, and then I do classes every day for them. So I was able to figure out a creative way to continue to keep everybody healthy and fit, and then still keep a revenue stream coming into the studio. So that has been really helpful.
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, some statement here, some tips, how you're experiencing this and what changes you're going through. Michelle, do you want to mention or how you're experiencing the COVID-19 stuff and what you're doing, or any questions you have, too?
Oh, well, I'm finding things have really slowed down because, you know, I can't work with teams right now because their season has just come to an abrupt end. So, but that's okay. I mean, what I'm going to do is at the university here, one of our universities here in BC that I coach, one of the teams, I'm going to talk to the coach this week and see if we can get all of the coaches in the university to be part of a Zoom call once a week where the coaches can share their, you know, what works for them with their teams in terms of just like just coaching, and I'd like to just create a peer mentorship group that I'd facilitate, and it would just be a sharing of ideas and knowledge and wisdom, and then also we could just deal with any challenges that teams are facing, and then they would have the expertise of all the other coaches to chime in. So that's kind of what I'm thinking of right now. And then also,
wow,
I think it'd be a nice opportunity for those coaches. They're non-competing, so they're all representing different sports, and then it'll give them an opportunity to get to know one another and just sort of create a bit of a collective.
That's great. Wow. What a great idea. Yeah. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to think of new ideas to, that can come out of this, and think of this pandemic as, and our world changing as an opportunity, right? To be able to, mentor people in different ways. So, that's a great idea, Michelle. And, Michelle, you're in, near Vancouver, right? Just to let Emily know where you are in Canada. So that's great to be able to think of different opportunities, ways to share your knowledge. And yeah, Zoom is wonderful because you can have do Zoom calls use a free service on there, or if you use more of it, I guess there's a way to pay for things too. So you can, it can really bring people together easily, and it seems to be working well. I've been part of some Zoom calls as well, and it just works better than Skype. And also, if you want to do your own trainings, or just your own short little messages, you can, just film yourself and record those easily, and then it saves it. Zoom saves it as a file, as you probably know, and an MP4 file on your computer, which with Skype that was difficult to do. So Zoom, it makes it easy to do, and high quality, high quality video and audio. So then you can be able to upload that anywhere you want, and upload it to your own website to have that, or on YouTube, or any specific place. So so that's great. So, I wanted to talk about now some of the things that are going on with...
Dr. John?
Oh, yes. Oh, hi, Evan. Hi.
I just joined. I just joined. I wanted to say that I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Oh, thank you, for joining us. Do you want to just mention, we've got Michelle on the call, and we've got a newer person, Emily. It's in our course as well. And Evan, you're in... Let's see, which state are you in?
I'm in Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan, yeah. So do you want to just mention how you're experiencing this, the COVID-19, the pandemic, through or what's happening with you, or any questions you have? And then I'll go into our content here.
I guess, real quick, I coach quite a lot over the phone or Skype, so... I'm not so much impacted regarding this type of coaching. I'm impacting in the sense that the athletes I was coaching, obviously, the state meets were canceled just 2 days before, so there was a lot of stress and frustration to deal with.
What was canceled, sorry?
The state meet in swimming.
The state meet,
Yeah, it's like the most important, meet of the season, with the sectionals were just canceled 2 days before. So really hard for the swimmers I was swimming. And I was doing some workshops with, I can't do them, but I was thinking to set up a Zoom call too, with maybe small groups of swimmers, and just to help them deal with what's going on and how they can prepare for when it's going to come back, when they're going to start again, and just giving some cues. So this topic is very adapted to that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So you're doing it through Skype, did you say?
Yeah, I use Zoom. Like you were saying, Zoom is very convenient. So I wanted to offer the coach, like, to gather some of the swimmers that might be interested and do a Zoom call with them and just give some tips, but also have them speak about it, like really have them be heard and process maybe, you know, their stress, their nervousness, their frustration, their, you know, stepping into the unknown, and then giving some tips on how to move on.
Right, exactly. So that's awesome. Yeah, athletes really need to be heard and to talk about this, what they're going through after they've trained so hard. So that's good. So thank you, Evan. And we'll I'll give some information here and some tips, and then check in with you all again about questions you have, and we can brainstorm with different things that maybe we can. How our practices as a coach can evolve and, be creative and come up with new, you know, we can all be resilient with this as in our coaching practice as we help our athletes be resilient too. So I want to do this call with reference to you, to all of us as coaches, and then kind of on two levels, the coaching level and then also on the athlete level. Yeah, a third level, actually, too, if you're dealing with younger athletes, is with parents and other coaches that you work with and how to help them, like you are, Michelle. So all of that. So, so thinking about this, the COVID-19 pandemic and, you know, tips for all of you, we want to think about it as we are all in this together. We've never had something so global like this that we're all experiencing it, and yet we're experiencing it in different ways. And everyone in the sports community and performance community is feeling this impact of COVID-19. And as you all say, Evan and Michelle and Emily and others, I think there's others on the call here too that are in the background that are just traveling and on mute. There's, you know, events and all these competitive seasons at all sports levels are being canceled, and as you know, and as you said, and training facilities are closing, and there's athletes and coaches, parents, and sports, the sports administrators that are putting up all these events, they're scrambling to develop different plans, and there's with no events to cover the media sources, or the news all we hear is coronavirus pandemic, which can further, make everyone more anxious. And then there's the mental performance and mental health practitioners and coaches like us are helping to mitigate these effects of this incredibly fastly changing situation through our online support and phone support. And so it's good to just realize that we're all, we think, am I going crazy? am I the only one that's experiencing this? And athletes think that, I think. And I think it's good to recognize that this emotional roller coaster is happening, and it's real for all of us. So in the midst of this global crisis, you know, we feel like we're have these emotional ups and downs, and a lot of people say, competent news commentators say, I can't focus. It's difficult to focus on anything, and it's good to hear that from people who I really trust and respect that they're having difficulty focusing. So, I think it's good to tell. I want to let you know, and then you can let your athletes know if you feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster up and down. It's real. It's something that we're all experiencing, and it's for now. It's normal. It's a normal reaction to a new normal in our world. So there's this constant influx of information. A lot of people get addicted to listening to the news, and that can be really difficult. So. And there's changes to our daily routine, and there's uncertainty with our personal health. Everyone's wondering, do they have coronavirus? Can I be infected? And all of that, the health of others, and the changing reports. You know, it's just this up and down feeling that we have. So it could be really physically and emotionally draining. So I think the first step in working with this as a coach and with your athletes is with COVID-19 is realize it's affecting everyone differently, and the impact it's having on you is completely normal and real, and that, you know, some of the feelings, I think it's good to acknowledge those, like you said, Evan, feelings that that athletes are having can be, you know, the loss, the frustration with the, you know, they can't do their season, confusion, disappointment, they feel anger, and, you know, and then combined with all these mandates to have to stay at home. I know with our different states are a little bit different. You know, Governor Newsom here in California said, you know, a mandate that everyone must stay at home. It's same thing with New York and Illinois, other states. It's just by county. We get different information. So it's feeling like our, you know, the world is closing in on us. But even though we have to be socially distancing, I think it's important to emphasize to athletes that you're not, you know, instead of social distancing, think of it as distance socially. We can still be distancing, but we can still be social in other ways. I was just on a hike yesterday at Rancho San Antonio, a park here. Fortunately, the parks are still open, barely open. And, you know, I was there and people were, you know, staying 6 feet apart. But yet, as I was walking, you know, people were, you know, looking, and it doesn't mean you can't have eye contact with another person. Just a look and a smile and acknowledgement. You know, just people seem to be more kind and more caring, and just it's good to, kindness can go a long way. Kindness is free, and it's nice to just acknowledge other people in any way that we can, even if we don't know them, and we don't always have to be looking at our phones. We can acknowledge people as they're walking by or saying, hi, how are you doing? How are you handling this? How are you holding up? So just knowing that other people are feeling just like you, and it's important to stay connected in whatever way we can, virtually or just out, you know, through eye contact. So identifying your emotions, trying to understand them, accept that emotions are going to change, too, over time as this thing, this pandemic evolves. So, you know, I think it's good to put your basic needs first. And as we attempt to manage this, you know, addressing your, I think for you and for your athletes to first, you know, address the basic physiological needs. Remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if any of you studied psychology, you know, the first need is just basically for food, water, shelter, clothing, you know, our health, just those kinds of things first before we think of other things. And like one of my clients said, her mother notices her mother's not eating, and she's so stressed about this and is losing weight. And so, you know, I encouraged her to maybe work with her mom to say, okay, let's cook something together. Let's make a nice meal and try to encourage her mother to eat, so that, because she's feeling the stress of all this. So, you know, we're all in uncharted territory here without this adequate preparation. So just being able to, I mean, as we all know, going to the store now is a whole different experience, grocery store, different experience than ever before, where you find shelves completely empty. I know here in California, it can be really scary. You walk in and there's all the things that you wanted are not there, and you have to come back three times to find something. But it's a new reality, and then the media, of course, highlight that, and so everyone gets scared and goes panic buying. And so you know, and I wanted to give you an example of that with a 14-year-old swimmer I'm working with. She, 2 weeks ago, we had a session on the phone, and she, and we've been working together for, I guess, about two, 3 months now, and she's made tremendous improvements in her swimming and her confidence and, feeling so good inside. And then, all of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, they announced the pool was closing. And it depends on what sports you're working with. Some sports you can, like Emily, you've got your facility, you know, people can do, say, different exercises online. And, and Michelle, you're working with lots of different sports. And I know with Evan, if you're working swimming, just like my swimmer, you can't, without a pool, you can't swim. You need that basic facility. So she was really upset. And so it's good to just, as you all know, to first be present and listen and just hear out the, without trying to first fix things, hear out what they're feeling. And just and be able to say something like, yeah, I hear you. I understand. I hear your frustration and acknowledge that you are there for them and that you understand and emphasize that we're all going through this together. So we did that. And then 2 weeks, or this last week, I had another what I did, let me just mention that when I did that, she was asking, how am I going to, you know, God, I'm just working on my stroke, you know, this one part of my freestyle, and we were getting ready for this meet, and we can't, now I can't compete. And so I said, okay, let's do a virtual training. You can't, and I explained to her the science of, and the psychology of, and how visualization works. I think that's good to explain. This is not just hocus pocus for athletes. I said, you know, there is, and you can read up on that, and I can send you some resources too that show that when we visualize something, you know, the brain doesn't know the difference between an imagined or an actual event, and also you can show that just the same neuromuscular connections are being activated in the muscles that you are using. So when I have her, I'll call her Karen, when I had my client Karen visualize swimming, you know, she is activating those muscles in the biceps and her arms and her legs and all the muscles and nerves that she needs to be able to swim well. You're getting another workout. Of course, you're not getting the aerobic workout necessarily, but that you would get with a real swim workout, but you are able to stay sharp. I said, I can help you stay mentally sharp and stay sharp and continue to work out in your mind, even if you can't work out in the water. And so I said, Karen, tell me, okay, let's do. Tell me exactly what you do, like for a workout this week, and I had her tell me all the details and how she the warm up, and then how many sets, build up sets of, you know, 8 25s and you know, 100 meters, 50 meters, all these different strokes and different types, and I wrote all that down, the specifics of it, and so that we could make the virtual workout as much like the real workout as possible. So I wrote down all the details and how she would feel and what she'd be thinking about. And then we did a visualization, imagining her doing this workout. And so she was able to imagine imagine her performing with, you know, doing the swim workout right there. And then afterward we did a debrief, and she said, wow, that felt fantastic. You know, it felt like I was right there in the water. And I just emphasized that you are actually working out. It's not just a mental workout. It's neuromuscular. It's physical workout as well. And so you can continue to do these. And I said I'd continue to make her visualizations for different workouts and different things she can do. So that's one, just as many things we can do with athletes, that's one thing that you can do with athletes is emphasize to them that you can have them do a virtual, create a really specific virtual workout or visualization for a workout. Or maybe, like Evan, you said that they had a state meet coming up in a couple of days and they couldn't do that state meet. Just imagine how they would like to perform in that state meet anyway, and visualize the state meet and how the ideal meet that they'd like to have, and then because it will happen in the future, so they can be more ready for it than maybe their competition. So that's one thing you can do with athletes is create these virtual workouts. And then the next week, we also talked about, you know, that things got worse with the COVID-19. And, you know, I talked with her, and she was worried that her father might lose his job because he works in sales, software sales for a car company, and now all the car companies are shutting down. And so she's kind of taking on all the stress of the family also. So we talked about that and that and her stress there, and it's good to let her express that and explain that's happening, kind of a domino effect all over the country, and that and to hear the people out, and then be able to just say, okay, now let's. Yeah, let's work on what you can focus on. I know it's just hard to take on all the issues of the family and the economics and the world. Let's just focus one step at a time here and do kind of like a marathon. This is like a marathon where you can pace yourself. And so find other ways that you can work out. And I said, do you run? Because it's really important for athletes to be able to do some form of exercise because they're very active people, and if you can't swim, what else can you do? And she said she could start, she says, I hate running, but it's better than nothing. And so she went out and ran, and by the next week she said she was running 3 miles a day every morning, and then starting to learn to enjoy that because it's her time out of the house and when she can get outside and be grateful for the fact that they do allow us to go outside. Some countries you're not even allowed outside your house. So we have that freedom still as long as you're doing social distancing, depending on what state you're in too here. So, those are, and we talked about just how to be able to, you know, handle your own feelings through a logbook and journaling your feelings as well. So that's really important. So that was one example of a client that I worked with and how to help with that. And then in the meantime, after the session, I'd email her some resources for virtual workouts. You can look online, you know, for HIIT, you may be familiar with that. HIIT stands for High Intensity Interval Training, and it's a type of exercises that you can do in your home without some you need equipment. Most of them you don't need any equipment for, just using your body weight. So you know, like burpees and sit-ups, push-ups, and jumping jacks, real quick kinds of things to keep your heart rate up and to do aerobic workouts. So those are good to be able to refer athletes to the, or in your case, Emily, since you have a training studio, you can, you know, do the virtual workouts or show them what to do on a Zoom platform so they can see that. So it's good to, I think, you know, have that, encourage your athletes to find a way to be able to work out. And then also, you know, we are hardwired for connection, and but we're social beings. And here we are being told to stay at home and do social distancing, which is really hard. I think it's good to acknowledge, too, that it's hard if you're alone, and it's hard if you're with your family. So both situations are difficult. Some people live alone. If it's an adult, they may be living in their an athlete or a performer, musician might be living alone at home, and that's really hard because it can be socially isolating. But in some ways, it can be a good thing because you don't have someone else that's on your case all the time. That you have more freedoms in some ways. But also, if you're with your family and everybody's at home, all of a sudden dad has to work from home and mom's having to work from home and everybody's getting on each other's case, that can be difficult too. So it's good to recognize it's kind of like too much of the same thing, too much being alone or too much being together with other people. So it's just good to recognize that we each have our own situations. And so, you know, and just recognize it's natural to want to be with your friends and with your neighbors, your teammates. And so, you know, we're currently limited in our ability to have face-to-face interactions, but we can use, as all of you are doing, you know, virtual means like texting, FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, social media, other types, and for healthcare needs where you need to see a professional in person, you know, it's good to reach out to your providers by telehealth services, and that's what we can do, you know, to be able to coach people virtually. So so it's good to encourage people to do that, but I think it's really important to encourage variety. So many young people are just on the phone all the time or way too much screen time. When Alfie I talked to is on the screen time, you know, 10 hours a day, which is really, you know, it can create vision problems, pain in the neck and shoulder pain, and as we talked about last time with our PEPI call on comparing, we end up comparing ourselves to other people on social media. Everyone only posts the positive things and how well they're doing, and so we naturally compare ourselves to others. So it's good to, I think, just spend some time there, social media, but then encourage your athletes to create a variety, then get outside, do some exercise, mix it up with other things, cook a meal, talk by phone. I think, you know, anyone over 40 years old, we grew up before the digital age, and we actually learned how to talk to people on the phone like we're doing now, so we have that skill, so that's good to be able to just have that voice-to-voice communication. And young people, that's one thing they could learn is how to talk by phone or on Zoom where you get, phone and video. So be able to just communicate to people where you can see them or hear them, and not just use words, not just the texting part, because it's just so limiting in terms of the emotions. So, so I just wanted to give you those ideas. And I wanted to encourage you to monitor your own, as coaches here, monitor your own mental and physical health. So, you know, our events, stressful events cause that uncertainty. You know, we keep thinking, what's going to happen? How long is this going to go on? Which no one can answer right now. And we can, you know, have a variety of emotions that can be this slippery slope of, why me, or what if this happens, and then what if that leads to this? And the media want us to do that, so we keep clicking on media stuff. But it's really important to, I think, focus on what we can control. Fortunately, we are in a profession where we can coach other people and have and create create new ways of thinking. And, you know, think about what we do as coaches with, you know, how we normally coach athletes. We talk about adversity, and when you have adversity in any performance situation, you're it's an opportunity for character building to learn, dig down deep and learn what you're made of, right, when you're in a tough competitive situation. Well, this is something we've all, that's new, that we're all experiencing here, and this is adversity like we've never seen before. And so it's important to, you know, you can use this as a teaching moment for yourself and your athletes to say, okay, this is adversity. This is character. How can I do character building here? How can this make me stronger? How can this help make your athletes stronger, more resilient, and be able to pay attention to your emotions? And so just asking yourself, you know, how am I feeling? What am I needing right now? How do I need to switch it up, change it up, and do something different, maybe if something I'm doing isn't working? So being able to, you know, get that emotional, that mental toughness that we talk about as athletes, think of all the things we normally teach our athletes. And now here is a situation where we can really use this to find out what we're made of, and to come up with creative solutions here. So, and oftentimes your athletes will come up with things. You know, younger people will figure things out, and you know, like the swimmer I was talking about, when she found out this week that now her school is switching to online courses, that she will be able to have a structure and do that, she was much more calm. And so realizing that, you know, we got to create a structure, and if there isn't a structure there yet, create one for yourself. You know, figure out a new schedule. The schedule we've got is all totally different now, and so how can you create a new schedule for yourself to do your studying and do your different kinds of workouts and have me time and social time? And so, I wanted to just then give you a couple of tips about what to tell your athletes, and then I want to open it up to all of you and suggestions that you have and what you've experienced. So I think, you know, identify, it's really important to help athletes to talk this out and have the, you know, your athletes and your clients trust you, so have them, you can be a source of support and guidance during this time, and you want to stay in touch. And you know, if athletes need to talk to their coach, maybe they can't be working out as a group with the coach, but their, you know, athletic coach, maybe they can talk with them by phone or social media, video, and to talk with you that same way. And then consider, you know, as I was saying, how you want to continue engaging in your sport. Maybe you found new time to rest and create a different pace for yourself. Some athletes might have needed a bit, or on the verge of injury and needed time to rest. So you could do that, engage in other interests, you know, be able to find a different hobby. Some athletes are also musicians or enjoy cooking. So it's good to branch out a little bit and not, maybe it's a time to not be completely focused on their athletics, but be able to, you know, just think about your overall goals. Consider what's best for you right now, and over time, as this situation progresses, you might want to, you know, talk with your athletes about this and revising your goals or your expectations together. It might be that, you know, like with athletes now, school may be closed probably till the end of this year, and so maybe find out if they can, we don't know what the summer is going to look like, but if there may be other opportunities in the summer to pick up on other things. So look forward to when they can get back into their sport. And then to just be able to remember your why, you know, when there's no competitions going on right now, just remember your why you like training and you're competing in your sport, and how you can maintain a positive motivation and while adapting to what's going on right now. So, and then just help your athletes to find daily routine so that you have some kind of control over what you're doing. So, you know, in the morning, making sure that they are getting enough sleep at night, and then, you know, for instance, I was helping my athletes to not put the phone right next to the bed because they're getting that radiation from the phone and the light from the phone often, and getting interrupted with notifications, and to put the phone in another room. And if they need an alarm, just get a regular old-fashioned alarm that actually rings, that is not online, so that they can get, because it's really important now to get even better sleep than before. So we stay healthy, so that each of us does not contract the coronavirus, which could be out there. So self-care, you know, being able to eat nutritious foods, and be able to have that sense of comfort and control while, you know, supporting our health and our well-being. So that's for our athletes, and then for yourself, just it's important to stay connected. And that's what we're doing today, is to just keep in touch with each other collectively here, and to recognize we're, you know, that this is something we're all going through here, and be able to talk about our feelings, our worries, and to be able to create space for what's, and share what's going on, and to listen, and realize there's degrees of impact too of all of us. Some people people that might not feel that much of an impact if you're doing things virtually or online most of the time anyway. Other people might have some people might have a stable financial situation. Others might find that all of a sudden things are, like you said, Michelle, things have slowed down. And so we need to, it might impact us financially. So it's important to realize that everybody's in a different situation. And so some athletes that you have may be able to continue to pay for this, and others might not. You might, it might be a good time to offer free, a few complimentary sessions to the athletes that, or people, and say, you know, you're having trouble, you can't work out right now because your facility's closed. I can help you stay mentally sharp. You know, you could say that, say, through your website or your social media to, as a way to get a new athletes interested in your services, or they may be willing to, you know, some people that are financially secure, you know, can, are interested, families really want to be able to pay you now, because to keep their child engaged and keep them healthy. So be a resource, continue to be a resource for athletes, and just, you know, practice for yourself and for them, you know, practice self-care, you know, things that you need to do for yourself. And I encourage you to, yeah, take care of yourself as a coach too. Acknowledge your own feelings, and, you know, be able to rely on our to be able to handle all that's happening here, and realize that we have this emotional up and down, and that we can support each other. So yeah, I just wanted to now ask you to, you know, can you, Michelle and Evan and Emily and other people that might be on the call, to just yeah, chime in and ask any questions that you have, or comments about what we just talked about here, or other things that you're experiencing with your coaching practice. You can just press *6 to unmute, and yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, are you guys there? Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Evan. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing. I mean, that I agree with all these things. I was writing an article around, you know, how to deal with, and there are many things that came to my mind that you said, like focusing on what we can control, not what you cannot control, revisiting our goals, while recognizing our emotions, and then maybe some techniques around stress management, breathing techniques for those who are really stressed out, using visualization. I mean, I love your example. That's great to have that in mind, like working out mentally. How, like finding creative ways to stay fit. I was reading an article, or I don't know, maybe on Facebook, someone in France. So in France, everyone has to stay home, but like really home. You can't even go for a run unless, I think you can go 500 meters around your house, which is, might still be better than nothing. But there's a guy who did the marathon on his balcony, like 7 meters long.
Well, I think
heard
he
about
did
that. Like thousands. And the next week he did a 50K. So he's an ultra, an endurance runner, right? So he did that. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But it's just the idea. I think it's inspiring and something maybe to share with the athletes. And oh, I had something else in mind that you were sharing at the end that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it will come back. If it comes back, I'll jump in again. But that's what I wanted to share right now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can jump back in anytime. Yeah. Emily, are you there? Or Michelle, you want to share?
I'm here, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. One of the things that I've been doing lately is I don't feel very comfortable trying to drum up business or, you know, cold calling people, reaching out to people I don't know right now. But so I have been calling coaches and athletes and parents of athletes that I've worked with over the years and just checking in with them, seeing how they're doing. And, you know, I just make like maybe 5 calls a day, and just to build rapport and connect and don't talk business at all. And it's actually been kind of nice because I've gotten to know some of the coaches that I work with on a more personal level, and we share some laughs and so on, so it isn't all business. So it's kind of been a silver lining in all of this.
Yeah, that's nice. Wow. Yeah, it's great. And yeah, people are just thinking that you're thinking of them and you're caring about them. Yeah, it can go a long ways, and when they're ready or when something comes up, you know, chances are they'll give you a call and think of you to rehire you as a coach again, kind of thing. And so it's really nice when you have time that we all have expertise in this area, and I think now is the time to just reach out and to reconnect. So that's awesome, Michelle. And I think you can, and doing the same thing with just old friends, not the business part, but just for our own social and mental health to that's what I've been doing is just making a list of all my old friends from all the different areas of my life. I'm a musician too, so I make a list of my musician friends, and I call them, pick up my guitar on the phone and say, hey, let's sing. Okay, we can't get together, so let's just sing a song on the phone. And we do that, and then friends from, I think of all the groups you belong to, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my hiking friends, okay, we can't get together as a whole group, but I could pick one friend and go hiking with them close by here, or those kind of things to be creative, reaching out to neighbors just that happen to be right here and just say, how are you doing? Going for a little hike. Yeah, those kind of things are really good to do, just reconnect with people that you happen to see, or you know, calling old high school friends. You know, it's what a great opportunity to connect with people. I even talked to this woman, Sally, who I knew from first grade. We haven't talked to each other since first grade, long, long time ago. And what a great way to, you know, improve our own mental health as people, as coaches, to be able to reconnect with people, because everyone's experiencing this thing differently. So, yeah, thank you, Michelle. That's a great idea to connect with parents and old clients. So, Emily, are you there too? Do you want to share?
I can. Yes, I have. My question is really about timing. So when I started the certification, my sort of hope and timing for this was that around April is when I would launch my visual coaching opportunities to my clients. But I feel a little awkward right now, kind of launching a new business during a time of crisis. I don't want to come across as insensitive to anybody. So one of the ideas that I had was that similar to kind of, Michelle, what you're doing is I really want to work with college athletes and college-level coaches on their mental game. And I have a good friend who's a head of a lacrosse program at a large university. And I was thinking of reaching out to him and offering a complimentary visualization training program to his athletes during this time. Just a chance for them to have a place where they can come and connect once a week and start to understand how to use visualization in their mental game and their mental practice. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that and see if you think that that's a good idea, if it feels right.
Yeah, I think that'd be great, yeah, to do right now. It's a great time to do, yeah, you're saying complimentary, something. Yeah, a lot of people aren't really wanting to spend a lot of extra money right now because they're seeing cutbacks themselves in their own business or their own work. And so it's, like you say, it's a good time to, you know, see what you could do, and then, and I know, yeah, Emily, you've got a wonderful your marketing plan and all that you've showed me through your modules and working through the PEC, the Performing Edge program here. And so, yeah, you can still be thinking about that and revising it and making plans, but like you say, doing something complimentary right now would be really a good thing. And then, being able to, it's okay to not have hard deadlines on things right now, to say a specific date, getting things done, because now our whole world is being shoved back and everyone's mentality is kind of a wait and see kind of thinking. So it's a good time to just connect with people and be able to revisit in a couple months, see how things go, and then revisit your kind of target dates for things and just be able to see if you can connect with people in a way, like a complimentary training program of some sort would be a great way to try out new ideas for yourself, and then be able to, in a couple of months, we might be on a, people might be in a better framework, and by then they know you and might be wanting to hire you to be able to start a program that they can pay for. So I think it's good to be flexible with those kinds of things. Go ahead.
No, that's that's great. I mean, sometimes I think you just need permission to kind of move forward.
You speak up just a little louder, Emily.
I had said I think sometimes we all just need permission, to kind of move forward on something, to kind of have someone in our corner just say, hey, it's okay, give that a try, give that a shot, see how that goes. So my hope in working with him is really to develop some content that then once I am ready to roll this out officially, I have sort of an experience that I can fall back on, something that I can use to share, how I work with athletes, especially in a time of crisis.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to, that could be a number one topic, is how to work with athletes in a time of crisis that we're all going through. Yeah, and it's good to, develop content. And then when you're doing that, ask them what questions they have. And a lot of times your client, if you're working with one person to, teach them this program, you can ask what questions do you have? What do you want to learn from me? What can I offer you? What else do you want to know about? So that person can get a lot of feedback that way, so they can help you develop the content, and you get it instead of just thinking in your own head about what you think they might know. It's better to go out to the market, find out what the market wants, what people want, and then be able to. I mean, that's exactly how I developed this Performing Edge training program. Maybe 10 years ago, was someone came in to me and said, "Can you certify me?" And she said, I she was begging me to have a certification program, and said, I want to. And so I worked with her individually, and she was willing to pay me for that. And she, from that, I was able to start to develop content and find out what does she want to know, or what do people want to know about work in the area of sports psychology coaching. So that's a great way to start. Yeah, and that's good, Emily. Did anyone else have comments on that?
Yeah, this is Evan.
Yeah, hi, Evan.
I'm in this kind of discussion in my other community of coaching, not mental game coaching, but more life coaching, business coaching, and there's the question, even myself, I was like, okay, how do I want to show up in this time? Who should I be? What should I do? And for me, I can share, for people like us, I think we want to help, we want to be in service, and so we're kind of selfless. So it's for sure in this time, it's like, okay, you know, what can we do to help others, which is great. And also there's there's nothing wrong in just keeping, you know, our business going. And it's like every small business, you know, like you're not helping anyone, if you're not keeping your business on and getting paid for that, because then you're going to bankrupt and then you won't be able to serve. So I think I take it from the approach, like Michelle was sharing, of connecting with people and really caring and being curious. What is it that they need? Not pretending that I know for them. And then just offering some support, so a one-on-one call and getting some support for no charge. And then some people might actually be ready, might want more. Some have financial situations that are okay, but they're super stressed out, so they might find some good reason to hire you. Some others, it would be the opposite. So then you can be flexible, so you can be creative. And so for me, I really try to be, how can I help? Who can I help? Really being curious, caring. If that's just one shot for free and nothing else, that's fine. And if that's more, you know, later down the road, you know, people will remember when you support them. So I think there's nothing wrong in just moving on in a caring way and just inviting people, not trying to persuade them and influence them and convince them. And for me, I took the opportunity, for instance, in terms of life and business coaching, I wanted to do a group coaching. The enrollment was a little bit hard, so I'm like, I'm going to give it, you know, I'm going to do it for free for a certain number of weeks for this period, you know. Every Wednesday I'm going to have this group coaching, and I have a few people signing, and they're inviting some people, so I'm going to start next week. And that's going to be an experience for me to run this group. So I'm okay with doing it for free for a few, you know, a month or two. That's going to be experience for me. If they love it, if I serve them, maybe they'll stay later when I start to charge. So I think it's a great opportunity to try to experience. And everyone has their own value. So for me, I try to do it really caring and being curious and inviting, as opposed to, you know, pretending, you know this, and I'm here to offer it. that's what I wanted to share. And the last piece, while I'm on the hot seat, I remembered also regarding the topic of today that for me, I think it's a great opportunity to reflect on what we take for granted, and that is not really, Maybe a way to lower the pressure when the competition comes back, like putting things into perspective, because we're kind of realizing, okay, sports is, it feels like it's our own entire life when we're into it, right? It feels this way, and it is. But then we realize, oh, okay, that can stop. We can't do anything about that. We've seen events like the Olympic Games being postponed. We've seen seasons completely stopped, even events canceled, which like never happens sometimes. So I think it's a great way to put things into perspective and remember, like, okay, this is just a kind of a game, even if we want to win, if you want to perform. And I think there could be something for athletes to keep in mind for later when the competition comes back, being like, okay, let's remember this time, you know, when we were confined and we couldn't practice and we weren't sure. And let's just enjoy the ability to just do what we love, you know, just to compete, whatever the outcome is. I think there's, at least for me, there's something to keep for this.
Yeah, I love what you said, Evan. Thank you for sharing that. And it's, yeah, it brings up the whole aspect of gratefulness that we've taken for granted for so long, the ability to just go outside and be able to work out and have our facilities and to work out on, and now all of a sudden we don't have that. So, or it's just really important to be grateful for. It's kind of, I look at it as like AC and DC and AC before Corona and after Corona. It's just like two worlds. And so it's good to just you know, teach ourselves and our athletes how to be grateful for, okay, what do I have, what can I do right now, and think of three things to be grateful for today, and keep doing that. You know, for myself, I could I love to swim, but all the pools are closed, so I got. But the pool, I have a condo here. The pool is about 49 or 50 degrees. I mean, incredibly cold. But I got out my wetsuit and my booties and everything I could put on, and I got in 49-degree water in the pool, and was determined to swim for 50 minutes, and I just worked with what I had. I froze myself to death. But it was a totally different experience than I'd ever had before. So some of your athletes can experience things differently, because I'm training for there's an event out here called the Escape from Alcatraz, you know, where they take you on the boat and then you swim across the bay from Alcatraz back across the bay. And that's in 2 months from now. We don't know if it's going to be canceled or not, but as an athlete, you want to, you know, encourage people to, yeah, I'm hoping that it will still be going on, so I'll have something to look forward to. So try to train for that any way that I can. And so just to, you know, something to look forward to in the future. So that was an example. So thank you, Evan. Yeah, and Michelle, do you have any comments or things you want to share too?
I think your comment about just making us all a bit more resilient and was a good one. And also just during these, I think as humans, we like certainty, and I know I like certainty, and just to be okay with uncertainty and be okay with not having hard deadlines. And I think it just creates a bit of a flexible mindset that can make us more resilient to things going ahead in the future. So there's opportunities here for myself anyway to just chill out. and I can't wish this or hope this to go any faster. It doesn't matter what I think. It's gonna do what it's gonna do. So and just accept that this is where we're at today, and life will just be easier if I adopt that mindset.
Right, exactly. And so it's, allowing ourselves to just kind of go with the flow if things are, you know, and just trying to see the the you know, the laughter and the humor and things and the beauty and what we do have. I went to this Rancho San Antonio Park the other day, last week, and there were, you know, spring. Last week I went on the 19th of March, which spring came early this year, and there were 20 baby goats there at the farm, brand-new baby goats. They have no idea what's going on in the world. They're just brand-new baby goats just, you know, kind of running around. They had this ramp, and they had the goats running up this ramp and running down, and they're just learning how to walk and run. They're kind of awkward, and just hilarious. It was so funny. They're adorable. So, you know, it's just nice to just get out of, you know, you realize here's this new life just being born, and just make and having the having a ball, having so much fun themselves, and allowing us to have fun too. So it's nice to just have time to just do something else, and if you can, and you can probably see it online if you go to baby search on baby goats at Rancho San Antonio, or there's probably lots of baby goats around the world right now. So yeah, being able to have that flexible mindset, Michelle, thank you for sharing that, and being able to laugh a little bit. You know, Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline, I just heard, I don't know if you heard that, either he or someone did a parody on that, you know, the Sweet Caroline, da, 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 good times never seem so good. And then there's the part about hands, and he changed it to hands, don't touch hands, reaching out, don't touch me, I won't touch you. Sweet Caroline. It's just hilarious. The funny thing. It changed it. I think it was actually Neil Diamond doing a parody on his own song, because we all want to reach out and touch hands, but right now it's really funny. So I just wanted to share that, you know, a little bit of laughter here about the whole thing. And some lady up the street was, maybe was saying, God, I'm so bored. I can't believe it. I put a glass of wine in every room, and I go around and I do a wine tour in my house. And then, oh, geez, it's so pathetic and funny. So, yeah, that's great. I just wanted to invite, is there anyone else that joined us on the call that might be on mute that wanted to share? I know it's just sometimes there's other people that are on mute that were traveling and can't talk. So, yeah, God, it's so good to share all of this with you guys. I feel like I want to hold hands with all of you and reach out. We're all just in this thing together, and I'm so looking forward to talking with you today, because it's just, we need each other here. And I think what I emphasize to my athletes and to myself is, you know, we're all in this together. We will get through this together. And that this is temporary, I think it's good to emphasize in your mind. I mean, we have no idea how long this is going to go on and how things are going to change, but things are changing, and it is temporary. And, you know, eventually we'll get back to something where we can do more activities. Maybe a new normal. But we can, through that, we'll be better people, right? We'll be stronger people and resilient. So, let me just, I'd like to, at the end of each call, you know, just ask you for a takeaway or something you got out of this, out of our call here, or something you want to share, something that, a nugget that was, something you learned that was helpful for you. If you could say something, share something. Emily and Evan and Michelle?
Yeah, I think for me, I always just love the way you break things down, and you know, I just really listened very closely to when you were helping us to identify the needs of our athletes, and the listening, the acknowledging, the providing of the workouts, whether they're through Zoom or they're, you know, just listening to our voices, and the emphasis on connection. So, you know, I really liked all those points, and I'm going to take some time and kind of let that saturate a little bit and think about how I might be able to work that into some meaningful content for some of the athletes that I have right now. So thank you for that.
Oh, good. Yeah, this is a great time to develop content in general, even if we can't do as much marketing as we want. Developing content is something we can do on our own. Writing out your ideas, writing goals, articles, videos, blog posts. If you need to work on your website, adding new content there, it's great to be able to do that. That's something that doesn't require reaching, that part to people, but it's also important to connect with people, too. So thank you, Emily. Yeah. How about Evan or Michelle? Your takeaway for you?
I just appreciated everybody's contribution in today's call, Dr. Joanne, and just we're all in this together, which is nice to know, and sharing ideas, and I thought it was great. Thank you. Nothing specific in my comment. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Michelle, for sharing your ideas too. You always have such great, wonderful thoughts, and all of you. Good. And thank you for sharing what you're doing too, how to work with coaches and virtually and helping them too. So thanks. Evan, are you there?
Yeah. Me, I actually liked when you shared that, if you're going away, you can just keep, social distancing, but still make eye contact and connect. And I think this is very powerful, and people tend to naturally avoid it. It's not comfortable. So as I was running, I was trying to each time I could look into the people's eyes and just smile. And I think it can do so much good, in these times, like just smiling. And I think that captures the fact that we're all in together, like you were saying. And I find that for myself, the last 2 weeks I have been in some sort of apathy, when it was not my clients or some mandatory things, I was really having a hard time just focusing, doing things. And since this week, I'm back on track and back. And what I found out is really connecting with my peer coaches, with my clients, and with you guys today is really just energizing me, and it makes sense. So I think for me, even more than creating content, which I think is great, what I need, I feel, is just to connect, just to coach, support, get coached, get supported, and move on from there. So thank you for this call. Everyone's contribution was awesome. And like Michelle said, I really appreciate that. So looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. And it's good to just practice empathy right now and have compassion for people. And it brings out the kind of idea that we're all human and this virus doesn't have borders or doesn't have discriminate against people or ages or anything. It's everywhere. And so we're all experiencing this. We're all vulnerable, and we can all help each other. And I know just the other day I'm in a condo here, condominium, and an older lady was having trouble with her groceries, getting them inside. And I just noticed that. And in fact, if you open your eyes and notice when people need help, I realized, gosh, I have two legs here. I can go over there and help. I just helped her carry her groceries into her apartment and her place and condo, and she was just so incredibly grateful, and we just had a nice little conversation. And it's just, if I hadn't looked up and realized she really needs help here, that connection would not have happened. So that can happen on a daily basis in our lives. So that's good to just, we can all be more aware and also emphasize self-empathy, I think, compassion with yourself and realizing it's okay if you don't get your to-do list done or if we have to change schedules. We can be flexible and we can just all do the best we can with what we have today. So this is great. Like, you know, almost bring tears to my eyes and realize, you know, I care about, you know, we just want to care about each other. And that's so great to talk with all of you. So next time would be the second, you know, the second and fourth Thursday of the month. That's one thing that is, you know, has, for 10 years now, it's always been, everything's changing in the world, but our calls here remain the same. Done this every Tuesday and second, fourth Thursday of the month for the last 10 years. So next one will be April the, thank goodness it's not April Fool's Day, but April the 9th on Thursday, and then April the 23rd. So you can put those on your calendar, April the 9th, for our next call. And I'll send out my notes here and the recording and resources for you of different things that, you know, online resources for athletes and for yourself as well. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Yeah, it's just great. Thank you, Emily and Evan and Michelle and other people that are calling and listening in the background that are on mute. So it's great connecting with you. I want to just give you everybody a big virtual hug since we have to do social distancing. We can do the hug. Or you know how the Japanese, they put their hands together in the prayer position and then they lean forward and, you know, they bow and they go, namaste. So giving you all a namaste right now. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. And we'll stay in touch here. I'll send everything out to you shortly. Okay, we'll be in touch then. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thanks.